You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as we continue our five-year journey through God's entire Word, we're taking our time in one of the most important books of prophecy, the book of Isaiah. Through Isaiah's eyes, we're going to see the long view of history, from ancient past to present day to coming glory. Yet chapter 40, verse 8 reminds us that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. And that's why Dr. McGee's vision was to reach God's whole world with his whole word, and why we follow in his footsteps, ensuring Through the Bible is heard in 250 languages all around the world, reaching listeners like Danny in Cambodia, who writes this: "Thank you for the words of encouragement and direction I received through this Bible study. I grow more dependent on God as I study his word. The teachings are quite helpful and motivated me to change some of my attitudes that are contrary to what God would have me think. Moreover, the Bible study program fully changed me into a new person who was inspired to share the love of God with other people. I'm truly grateful for this transformation. I pray that the Lord will bless you." Well, let's pray and praise God for what he's doing in our lives and the lives of all those who study with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for fulfilling your promise that your word endures forever. We ask that you would use it right now to speak to us in the private places of our hearts, where sin dwells, where we need to turn things over to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open now to Isaiah 21 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're in this section of Isaiah, as we come today to the 21st chapter, we are looking at what is called the burdens of these nations, but it's the judgment upon certain nations. There are 11, actually, of these burdens. We will look in chapter 21 at three of them, 7, 8, and 9. We have the three burdens. The first one is concerning Babylon, called here the desert of the sea. The second one is Edom, called Duma here, and Arabia. And these three burdens in this chapter, they are set forth before us in a very expressive manner of symbols. And they are, I think, made very clear to us. I recognize that in the day that they were given, they were as clear as the noonday sun to people in Isaiah's day, just as, well, when the stars and stripes are mentioned today, I hope most of us know exactly what is referred to. We call it Old Glory, or the American flag. Now, the insignia in this chapter may not be as clear to us, but I think that it can be clear to us if we'll spend a little time in studying, although the expositors have disagreed here, but I think most of them, there is a certain amount of agreement on this. And we can identify them, as we've said, as Babylon, Edom, and Arabia. Now, this is a remarkable section of Scripture that we're in. Fact of the matter is, this is a section that to me is so remarkable because it makes very clear that so much of the Word of God is neglected today. Let me illustrate this by asking you a question. When was the last time that you ever heard a sermon or a Bible study on the 21st chapter of Isaiah? I have a notion that there are many of you that have never heard a study on the 21st of Isaiah. And by the way, I'd like to ask this. When you write your letter in, be sure and let us know if you ever did. I would appreciate knowing how many people have heard a message on the 21st of Isaiah, or the 22nd for that matter. And this is another one of the sections of Scripture that confirm me in the position that I hold, which is the premillennial, the pre-tribulation, dispensational interpretation of the Word of God. And I wasn't always brought up on that. In fact, I was not at the beginning. But this is the only interpretation that would satisfy passage like this. And this is the reason that all other systems stay clear of this passage and other passages of Scripture. Now, the remarkable thing here is there are symbols used, and that people say, well, I thought you believed in the literal interpretation. I do. And when a symbol is used, it's always pictures of reality. And that's the important thing to remember. You know, some people use the word symbol, and they use it to evaporate it, to make it disappear. They're like a magician. If they say it's a symbol, it's like saying hocus pocus, and it's gone. You don't worry about it, but we'll worry about it. With that introduction, let's look at this. The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. Now, what do we have before us here? Well, let's look at this for a moment. The desert of the sea. That's a strange expression, is it not? It's very much like saying the dryness of the water, or how dry the water is. It may not be too peculiar to us today because we have dry ice and cold heat today. And Dr. Jennings, he translates this like this, and I would not call it a translation, but rather a marvelous interpretation. Listen to this. As sweep the whirlwinds through the south, so comes it from the desert, from the land that strikes with terror. And that's good, by the way. It's a good interpretation. But this doesn't identify the nation. But somebody says, then how do you know what it is? Well, this is a case where you keep reading. And in verse 9, I read, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And so now I know that the desert of the sea is Babylon. And Babylon became a world power. And even before she did, her doom was predicted. We've already seen that. And that was the first burden in chapters 13 and 14 was against Babylon. Now, Babylon became so awe-inspiring, so frightful, and represented so much in Scripture that we have this further word concerning its doom. It was the first place of united rebellion against God at the Tower of Babel, and it represents the last stronghold of rebellion against God. You'll find that in Revelation 17 and 18. You have religious Babylon in chapter 17 and commercial Babylon in chapter 18 of Revelation. Now, this expression here, desert of the sea, now that's a paradoxical phrase. Now, actually, Babylon was geographically located on a great desert plain by the side of the Euphrates River, and it was irrigated by canals from that river. And Jeremiah gives this description of Babylon in Jeremiah 51:13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters. Now the desert and the sea form a weird amalgamation, isn't that true? This same fusion of desert and sea is made by John in Revelation. For instance, over in Revelation 17:3, he said he was caught away to the wilderness, and he saw this woman in the wilderness riding the beast. Now, this is a desert where he beheld Mystery Babylon. And in 17:1, we're told she sitteth upon many waters. It was in the desert that John saw the many waters. Now, these two are symbolic, but they carry through the same pattern. We'll find it again when we get to Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, verse 1. Now, Babylon, with its glitter and glamour, and as the fountainhead of idolatry and false religion, was a mirage upon the desert. Isn't this tremendous? Desert of the sea. What a picture. You thought you were going to go to a place, oh, and it would be so wonderful. But what was it? It was a mirage upon the desert. You thought you were seeing a spring and an oasis, but it wasn't. You could go to Babylon filled with idols and religion, but there was no life-giving water for the souls of men. And this is something that every pastor, every radio preacher, every church, and every church member ought to turn over in his mind. Is my church, or am I today a fountain of water, or am I just a mirage on the desert of life? Am I a life-giving fountain? Let's keep moving, verse 2, because that gets personal, does it not? And I'm reading now, a grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Now God commands the twofold nation of Media Persia to destroy and spoil the city. And that's what you have in Elam here. Elam is Persia. And this is exactly what happened. Here's a prophecy given before it took place. Now, the destruction of Babylon was such, as the prophet saw it, in verse 4, my heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me, the night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Now, he's moved with great feeling and emotion when he learns of the coming devastation. Now, no one today can rejoice in the judgment of God. God says his judgment is a strange work. He doesn't want to judge. He wants to save you. He doesn't want to judge you. That's up to you. What will be determined is up to a nation. Now, in verse 5, he says, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, anoint the shield. Now, this reads as if it were an eyewitness account of the destruction of Babylon as recorded by Daniel in the 5th chapter of Daniel. And remember, this was recorded about 200 years before it transpired. And in the midst of the banquet of Belshazzar, the Median general Gobryas, that had detoured one of the canals, marched his army underneath the wall of the city, and with a surprise and a shock, he took the city and slew men and women right and left. This is something God said would take place. And therefore, we read here in verse 9, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men. Now, it's the watchman up on the wall of the city telling the people on the inside what he sees. He says, as I look out on the desert, there comes a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And these are messengers. And as they come, they give the news. Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of our gods he hath broken under the ground. Oh, my thrashing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Now, this is the time of thrashing. This is the time of harvest. Judgment is the time of harvest. Our harvest is the time of judgment. We today talk about that the fields are white unto harvest. Actually, our Lord gave that at the end of the age of law, when judgment was coming upon these people who'd had the law for 1,500 years, minus a few years. And he says the harvest is here, and they would get out. Our business today is a sower, went forth to sow. And that's the reason we're to give out the word of God today. That's the picture. Babylon has fallen. And I want to recommend a book right here because we're going to be coming to Babylon and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and then Daniel. Hyslop, the two Babylons. Now, the chances are you won't find it in your gospel bookstore. You may find it in your library, and you may find it in a secondhand bookstore. But if you can put your hand on a copy of Hyslop, the Two Babylons, you do it. You'll have a very valuable book. Now, verse 11, the burden of Duma. Now, who's Duma? He called to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Now, who in the world is Duma? What do we have here? And Duma, by the way, is a symbolic word. Isaiah played upon words. We've already seen that. Use words to carry a message. And he used it to bring out a deeper meaning. Now, Duma is Edom with the E removed, you see. You take E off of Edom, and what we have here is Edom. And Duma means silence, and our word is dumb today. That's the intent here and the purpose of Isaiah. Edom is still a land of death-like silence. Seir means rough or hairy. You remember Esau was the first seer man. Back in Genesis 25 says he was hairy. Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. That's in Genesis 36:8. It also was a land that was swept with storms. The silence and the storm. What a play upon words. And what a message. And here is another paradox. Edom obviously is the country involved. No question about that. Out of the land of silence and storm comes this inquiry, which is twice repeated. Watchman, what of the night? In other words, how much of the night is gone? How long will it be before God's glory will be revealed when the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings? Well, the watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. You see, both morning and night are coming. And what will be glory for some will be doom for others. What will be light for God's people will be night for the Edomite, the man of the flesh that's rejected God. What a message. Now, verse 13, the burden upon Arabia. And now, in the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. And this is verse 13. Now, Arabia seems clear enough, but again, this is a word with a double meaning. It can be made to mean evening by changing the vowel points. May I just add this, that Hebrew is a language without vowels, just consonants. And you have to put vowels in to the language. And that's what the Masoretic scholars did. And Hebrew would be bad enough for me to read with these markings of the vowels, but without it, I'd never be able to get through. Here, it's quite obvious. It was the evening in the history of Arabia. It was later than they thought. Now, Arabia was the land of the Ishmaelites, the Bedouin tribes of the desert. If you please, the modern Arab. Interesting, isn't it, that God speaks of them? And I'd love to spend time to say that here, another son of Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac, they never did get along. They don't get along today either. I wonder if Abraham could look down now if he would think the sin he committed was a small sin. Friends, sin never ceases working itself out in the human story. Now, we are told the inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water, and so on. And there was a coming judgment upon this land and people. And this chapter of poetic beauty and heart sorrow should not end on this note. It may be evening here, but God's day is reckoned the evening and the morning for the first day. Now it's evening, but the morning is coming. The night of weeping will soon be over, and a new day will dawn. Man's evening of failure and sin and darkness will finally come, and God's morning will be ushered in by the coming of the Son of Righteousness. Now in chapter 22, we have the burden of the Valley of Vision, and this is Jerusalem. Now this burden refers to Jerusalem, as we shall see here, and you have the burden of the Valley of Vision in Jerusalem, verse 14 verses, then the brief from the case of Shebna and Eliakim. What we have here, this Valley of Vision refers to Jerusalem. You say again, how do you know? Verse 4, therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly, labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. Now that is, of course, Israel. Now verse 8, and he discovered the covering of Judah. And thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David. They are many. In verse 10, and ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem. Now, this speaks of the fact that there's coming this judgment upon Jerusalem. Now, Hezekiah actually took the precautions that are mentioned here in defending Jerusalem. You remember he put a wall around the fountain so that they wouldn't run out of water. And you can still see that today in that land. Now, I want to drop down and just lift out for a moment the last judgment, which is the judgment that is mentioned here of Shebna and of Eliakim. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go, get thee unto the treasure, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say. And will you notice, Shebna was the secretary of the treasurer and a pretty cheap politician under Hezekiah. I won't turn to that, but we've already seen it in 2 Kings 18:18, and we'll see it again when we get to the 36th chapter of Isaiah. I'll hold it to then. But notice, what hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out of sepulchre here, as he that heweth him out of sepulchre on high, and thou graveth an inhabitation for himself in a rock? Now, Shebna was building a tomb to perpetuate his name, and it was very ironical because he was to die and be buried in a foreign land. Now, and I will drive thee from thy station, from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day, this is verse 20 now, and in that day, we're looking down to the end, that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And I think that what we had under Shebna is just an adumbration, a picture of Antichrist. Here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. The Lord Jesus told the church in Philadelphia that he had the key of David. And he opened and no man shut it. And he shut it and no man opens. And that's the way we operate radio today. God has opened to us a great door and effectual. There are many adversaries, but he's opened the door. And he also said to the church in Philadelphia, you have a little strength. And that sure fits us. I felt like he's talking to us. We have a little strength. But he says, no man's going to be able to open it or close. I'm the one. And this speaks of the Lord Jesus. How wonderful it is. Now I read the last verse here, verse 25. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in a sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now this refers to Shebna, and he's a picture of Antichrist, and a great many people will trust Antichrist. They'll look to him, they'll actually think he's Christ. And he's just a nail when you hang something on it. Have you ever had that experience, driving a nail, put a coat on it, a good heavy coat, and down it comes? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a nail that's in a sure place. Shebna's not, and all others are not. And by the way, are you hanging everything you got today on a nail that's in a sure place? Now, a lot of people are not. They're hanging everything they've got on something that's not sure. Some people may even make investments. A man told me I trusted a lawyer. He made a mistake. He wasn't a nail in a sure place. And some people have trusted even a preacher and found out he wasn't a nail in a sure place. But friends, Christ is a nail in a sure place. I hope you'll hang everything on that nail. Hang your life there today. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes, I echo that hope. Hang everything on Jesus Christ's nail-scarred hands. You won't ever regret it. This important message is available to share with a family member or friend anytime on our app or at ttb.org/Isaiah. And for encouraging quotes from Dr. McGee, like us on Facebook or follow us on X and Instagram. Next time, the Bible Bus travels through Isaiah 23 and 24, where we'll study the 11th and final judgment against the nations that surround Israel. In the meantime, if we can help you find one of Dr. McGee's resources to deepen your personal study of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or view our entire library over at ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for this time together with you in God's Word.
Jesus came home, unto me my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Jesus Christ, to all of our faith partners and radio listeners, that we are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Come and be blessed. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there. What a wonderful day to be in the land of the living, to give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the honor and the praise, because it was He and He alone that woke you up this morning to allow you to see this wonderful day. And this is the day that He has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Well, I want to just speak to you today concerning love. Praise God. That's the motivating factor for everything that we as children of God should be doing, walking in love. And that is the subject that I want to speak on today, walking in love. I want to pray before we get into the Word of God. Father, I thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for this glorious opportunity that I can minister to those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in these last hours, and they would receive your word and thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. There are many things that are taking place here, praise God, in New Life. Praise God. It is just what it means and what it says. New life. Although we are an assembly of God, but it is new life. Praise God. And if you don't have new life, you're the old creature, you can come in as what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It says that if any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all other things become new. You're better looking as a new creature than you are an old creature. And if you're an old creature, you can become a new creature, praise God, because God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love, praise God. So we want to go this morning into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, praise God. That is so much that we can glean from this particular chapter there in 1 Corinthians. Apostle Paul is speaking of the love of God. Praise God. And I wonder how many of us today, as we look into what the Word of God says, will we find our photograph? And when I say our photograph, I'm speaking in terms of, are you doing, can you see yourself in what you're reading? Praise God. A lot of us are doing a lot of things, but can we see ourselves in what we are reading according to the Word of God? I ask the Holy Spirit that He will just divinely guide and lead us, that He will open up the Scriptures, that we'll be able to see, give us eyes, put eye salve on our eyes, that we'll be able to see the truth of God's Word, not only this morning, but each and every day.
Amen.
And Minister Glory, in 1 Corinthians 13, and the first verse, Apostle Paul. Now, it's amazing how he's speaking, because love is what we all should be walking in. That's the motivating factor for us, because Jesus said in his word, through love and kindness have I drawn you. So we must walk in the love of God. And it cannot be some brotherly love, although brotherly love is good. It has its place. But I'm speaking of the agape love. The agape love is unconditional love. Praise God. Everlasting love. And that love, it is that whether you like me or not, I still love you. Praise God. Have no hidden agendas, but I still love you. So Apostle Paul said in the first verse there of 1 Corinthians 13, and listen to what he's saying here. Now, these things goes on in the churches today. I don't care what church it is. When I say church, I'm speaking local assemblies. Let me tell you something. You have people doing all kinds of things, but Paul, Apostle Paul, is bringing this to our understanding. If we have an ear to hear what the word of God is saying, praise God. Now listen to what he says in this first verse. Is very important among other verses of scripture. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. In other words, what Apostle Paul is saying to us is that if we are not walking in the love of God, and I want to tell you, the only way you can walk in the love of God is you have to be born again. Praise God. Because you can't walk in your own love and satisfy what God wants. We have brotherly love. And I know that some people have spoken, well, there are three kinds of love and so forth. And it is true. You have agape love, which is the unconditional love. That's the love of God. Then you have philia, which is brotherly love. Then you have eros, which is a love that one would have for his mate and so forth, husband or wife, praise God. But I want to tell you, it's God's love that we should walk in. And as I stated, you cannot, listen to me very carefully out there in Radio Land, you cannot walk in God's love without being born again. That's clear. It's crystal clear. You cannot walk in God's love. And many people today, they walk in brotherly love and trying to equate that with God's love, and it's virtually impossible. Because first of all, it's good to have brotherly love. We should have brotherly love. We should love one another. But let me tell you something, and I want to be very clear with what I'm talking about here, is that if you're walking in brotherly love and trying to equate that with God's love, it won't work. And simply, it will not work because brotherly love is not everlasting love. It's not unconditional love. And what happened is that you will love somebody today, or perhaps maybe a week or two. But as soon as they do something to you that you don't like, then you don't exemplify God's love. It's brotherly love, and it has an end to it, so to speak. So we all must walk in the love of God. And Apostle Paul is telling us here, he said, well, listen, you have people that are speaking in tongues. That is wonderful. That's the gift of God. That's our heavenly language. Praise God. But we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But listen to what he's saying. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, angelic, he said, and have not love. I wonder why he's saying this. We all must walk in love. I know why he's saying it. And have not love, all we're doing is making noise. That's all it is, just making noise. He said that you just like a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Praise God, praise God. We want to walk in the love of God,
praise
Minister God.
Yes, right.
And that is my desire. Mm-hmm. And I said, that is what I want to do each and every day. I ask the Lord, help me to walk in his love, forgiving one another, praying for one another, praying for the lost. Oh, I want to tell you to walk in the love of God. Praise God. So Minister, he says, though I speak mm-hmm. with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, mm-hmm. I become as a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Yes. Just making noise. That's all it is. Just making noise. Because love is the motivating factor in terms of everything that we should be doing as a child of God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Now, you want to read the next?
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
Oh, wow. Praise God. That word charity means is love. Praise God. You have faith mm-hmm. that you're able to move mountains.
Amen.
I mean, it is something what he's telling us. Would you read that again, Minister?
And though I have the gift of prophecy.
Okay, just hold for a moment. The gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy comes from the Spirit of the living God. What are the gifts of the Spirit? If you have the gift of prophecy, and what else?
And understand all mysteries.
And have the revelational knowledge of all mysteries.
And all knowledge.
And all spiritual knowledge.
And though I have all faith.
And all faith, my God, look at the quality. Look at what Paul is saying here. The gift of prophecy. All faith. You're able to move mountains. But if you don't have love, and this is what needs to be done today in the churches, in the body of Christ, we are to walk in love, the love of God, not allowing any distraction or anything that the enemy will try to do to get you to not love one another. Oh, God loves us with an everlasting love. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And we say that he is in us and we are in him. Then we should walk in the love of God in spite of all of the difficulties and the problems that challenges us or come our way. We are to walk in love. Now, Minister Glory, he mentioned some things there. Mm-hmm. I want you to read that again, mm-hmm. but I want to take one at a time. It's the gift of prophecy.
Amen.
The gift of prophecy. Mm-hmm. Now, all of this is from the Spirit, mm-hmm. from the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy.
And understand all mysteries.
Have revelational knowledge of all mystery, because the only way that you can understand all mysteries is through the revelational knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You can't do it in your own little peanut brain. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries. And what else?
And all knowledge.
And all knowledge.
And though I have all faith.
And have all faith. I mean, you have faith that you're able to move mountains. You have all faith that you can believe the healing for somebody and know that it's a done deal. My God. And what else, Minister?
And have not charity. I am nothing.
And have not love. And have not love. You are nothing. My God, you are nothing. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? You are nothing. You have all the gift of prophecy, faith, understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and have not love. Mm-hmm. What is he telling us? All those things mean nothing if we are not walking. If we are not walking in love, the love of God. I say the love of God. Minister Lori, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm telling you, he's laying it out to the church of Corinth there. And I tell you, it's not just for them. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is just as good as his word. And his word is telling us today we should be walking in the love of God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Walking in the love of God. I mean, this is not something that we play with. This is the motivating factor. This is why we are doing what we are doing, only because of the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Read the next verse, Minister.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor.
Look at what he's saying. And though I bestow all my goods, everything that I have, everything that I personally own, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor.
And though I give my body to be burned.
And look at what he's saying. Glory to God. And give his body to be burned.
And have not charity.
And don't have no love.
It profit me nothing.
And have not love, it profits me nothing. 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 There's no profitability there. You can't profit from anything. In other words, we do these things and don't have no love. We speak in tongues. We have no love. We get revelational knowledge and have not love. And I find it extremely difficult for one to have the qualities, revelational knowledge, faith to move mountains, gifts of prophecy, understanding all mysteries, all faith, and don't have no love. Wow. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. That we would walk in your love, the agape love, unconditional love. You know, John said in St. John 13 in verse 34, Jesus commanded us to love one another. He commanded us. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, to love one another as I have loved you. Love ye one to another, and by this what? By this love, all men will know that you are my disciples. Everybody will know that you are my disciples when you have love one to another. Oh, my God. Lord, help us to walk in the love of God.
Amen.
The love of God. Because God has given us this love. He has given it to us. Help us to allow it to be manifested in our lives daily. In Romans 5, the Word of God tells us, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he has given unto us. Lord, have mercy. Help us to walk in love. And the only way we can walk in the love of God is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Minister Glory, read the next one.
Charity suffers long.
Oh, my goodness. Can you see your photograph here? Are you able to find yourself here in a verse of Scripture where it says, love suffers long? Isn't that what it says?
That's what it says.
Love suffers long. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.
And is kind.
Love is kind. Oh, my God. I pray today that all of us, that we fall at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and walk in the love of God. Love suffers long, he says. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We all know what Apostle Paul went through. Praise God. On his journey, he suffered a lot of things. But he's telling us, love suffers long. Love is kind. We want to be kind one to another.
Amen.
And the only way we can do, you know, Minister Glory, we try to do these things with external ability of the flesh. And it's not going to work. It has to be by the Spirit of the living God. And love for us all is the motivating factor in terms of why we do what we do. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us. Even as I sit behind this microphone here in the radio station, I want to tell you, this word is to me first. Whatever I'm saying is to me first, to us all, to walk in the love of God, to love one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because love suffers long. Love is kind. Kind to one another. My God, not bodacious, arrogant, looking at people, making them feel less than they are. No, love. That's who God is. God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says that God is love.
Amen.
And if you have God in you, you walk and you can walk in his love. Glory, Minister Glory.
Charity envieth not.
Love is not jealous. It's not, it's not envious. Mm-hmm. It's not jealous because you have something that I don't have. And therefore, I don't love you. My God, I tell you, what I'm talking about here this morning is for us all, praise God. And I pray that we all fall down at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. And ask him to help us, that we would walk in the love of God. As I say these things, I'm not saying it with a great deal of joy. What I'm saying is that we all fall short. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to walk according to what we're reading. There are things that we're reading here. We know that we have trouble trying to live it in our own ability. That is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, help us that we will be able to do what we're reading and be what we're reading, so that the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he's given unto us, that we would be able to do God's will. So love suffers long. Love is kind. Amen.
Yes. Love envieth not.
Love is not envious. It's not jealous. It doesn't want what you have.
Love wanteth not itself.
Love wanteth not itself. Love is not puffed up.
Nope, it's not puffed up.
It's not puffed up.
Mm-mm.
It's not arrogant.
No.
See, all these things, and I tell you, as we read what Apostle Paul is saying to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot do this in our own strength. As you know, you cannot do it. We need the power of God.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us all that we will be able to do what the Word of God is saying to us. Not only this morning, not only in the church, but all the time, that we can walk in love. In other words, we can order our behavior as walking in the love of God.
Amen.
Oh, my God. There's so much to be said about what Apostle Paul has written to us. Praise God. But our time has slipped away, and I dare not close this broadcast without offering the invitation of salvation to all that have tuned into the broadcast. Minister Glory.
In Romans 10:9, it reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. I pray today that you all that tune into the broadcast will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and walk in the love of God. God bless you all until the next broadcast. Is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.